percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
It's summer and crop circle season is well underway. I actually connect with a guy who's been talking about crop circles. He and his wife, I think for 11 years, did the crop circle tours. And that is something that once you, I guess, it's like an addiction. Once you go and experience that, you keep wanting to go back for more. And then in the archives, I've got a show that we actually talk about some of the science behind the crop circles and how the stalks, whatever it is, whatever crop it is, looks like it's somehow been in some way, shape, or form impacted from above, not from somebody with the, what they say, you know, the boards and ropes. Yeah, right. There's so many going on. There's a whole lot of guys out there with boards and ropes. Anyway, was it Doug and Dave or something like that? Anyway, this new one is in France, and the farmer said he went out, and this isn't something you can see if you're in the field. You have to be above it. And he's like, you know, it would be great if they could catch them. I don't think that will happen, but it was a good year for wheat, and unfortunately, there's a lot of wheat missing now. He said from what he was looking at it in the field, though, that it did look like it didn't look like it had been trampled or flattened or pinned in some way. So he doesn't know how it was done. And obviously he doesn't know who did it, but it was a surprise. And of course, people are rushing to the site. And there's a crop circle connector. You can go and check and see if some of these are closed to the public. Because just because they go in and do a field, a lot of times the farmers try to discourage this and they will go flatten it themselves to remove the evidence and keep people from, you know, the looky-loos. However, if they don't, then being in a crop circle field, from what I have heard from the people who have gone and spent a little time there, is pretty amazing. The energies from, even if they are man-made or, you know, Doug and Dave made, then, how old are those guys by now? There's an energy about it. And so this is a thing that I think is a fantastic mystery. And obviously, I think there have been four so far. You can keep tabs on that if you go on Facebook, or I'll put a link on my site, Wendy's Coffee House, and we'll follow along. The movie that's coming out is called Yesterday. And the fun thing about this movie, the film, and I like the sci-fi stuff. That's why I post it on the website. I post a little From Dust. I love those little small, short, just, you know, like potato chips, about 4 minutes to 20 minutes max, usually more in the 11-minute range, sci-fi short films. And this one is, the movie has a little sci-fi element because the character in it has a time shift. Okay, so if you've seen the preview of this, it's the Beatles music factors in, and it's just a fun film from what I have seen from the trailer. The funner thing is going on and watching the folks who do the reaction and review videos, because I had no idea there were so many and such variation. But that's another one to check out. The film, this is a thing of what happened if suddenly you had a break from time and things were not as you remembered, and you go back and you have this terrific opportunity, as you might say. I've had the time shift thing, and it involved that encounter with something that we're not going to go into now, E.T. Unexplained, and it does rock your world. So there's another thing aspect with all of this stuff, and my guest is an astrologer. A lot of things have happened in her life that have given her some wonderful insight in the way she got into astrology, the whole nine yards. She also had a twin, and the book is Star Sisters, an astrologer's memoir of twin loss. The thing about this is it's more than it's just about the getting through the grief and losing somebody incredibly important and integral to your life. It's about what comes as a result of having had that partnership and that incredible connection. So, Linda, are you on the line?
I sure am. Hi.
It's nice to meet you, and I love your book.
Thank
I love
you,
the
Wendy.
Story.
Thank you very much.
So for what you do, I also want to ask, where did Moon Rabbit come from? Because it's Linda Moon Rabbit Zlotnick for people who are now Googling.
Yes. So Moon Rabbit came from a feeling I had after I discovered astrology and had been studying it for a while that, like what you said, my universe kind of shifted a little bit. And I felt like the person that I'd been up to that point, that I was leaving that person behind and something new was emerging. And I wanted a new name to kind of create a marker for that. And so I was with a bunch of friends, and we were getting a little wild and crazy and just kind of shouting out different things. And, somebody said Moon, and somebody said Rabbit, and I said, oh, that's me, And so I just started asking people when I was to use that as my professional name. And then I liked it so much, I asked people to use the Moon part as my personal name.
Oh, so it was an evolution.
It was. It was an unexpected.
The thing I like about your book, and knowing some twins, that this is what happens sometimes as life just kind of it goes your way. You guys, as children, you were with your parents. One had a certain role. You weren't treated as identical, even though in pictures as babies you were. But you kind of were the fall guy, and your sister was the perfect child, or the example mm-hmm. you were supposed to model after. And you've come through that.
Yes.
When you first tried to separate, how old were you when you first figured out that maybe you didn't have to be like your twin?
Well, it was interesting because we were in high school, and my twin, Luann, she was into it way before I was, She just decided that we had to grow up. That's how she talked about it, is that we couldn't do everything together and that we had to have separate friends. And so she just started kind of leaving me behind, which did not make me happy at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then a little bit later, as we got into college, I actually started having some of those same, I want to be my own person, So... I followed, but there was no real getting away from the twinship because we were constantly being mistaken for one another.
There's an extraordinary part of the two of you, your connection, that you have the ESP factor incredibly strong.
Right. And so, we were very, very connected in this kind of energetic way. And very primary, I would say, in terms of, having other important people in our lives. And, she got married and I had relationships. But the primariness of that twin bond was kind of supersedent a lot of the time.
Yeah. The thing I want to get into, though, is you were the rebel. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was the rebel.
You were the black sheep rebel.
And she did everything right. Do you know what I mean? So she did exactly what was expected.
Uh-huh.
And because she did what was expected, I didn't have to.
I want to go into the LSD thing, okay?
Okay.
Because in the 60s, that's when you were branching out and you were experimenting, and you had an extraordinary, a revelation at that point.
Yes. It was kind of, I suppose, why people take psychedelics or mind-altering substances in the first place,
mm-hmm.
is that I completely transcended my everyday reality, and I had this experience of universal oneness where, I really felt my connection to every single part of nature that I was in, and I had some extraordinary experiences with what, that made me question what we think of as reality.
Yeah.
Because, it was very hard to explain, I think, if you haven't been there, that, I actually could see through this wall.
Yes.
I mean, you can't really do that.
Okay, hold on. Let's stop right there, because I want to come back and go into more of that, too, and give a backlog why that is so important in terms of your story. All right, so just hang on just a minute. The book is Star Sisters, and this is I got an advanced reader's copy. I'm so thrilled because it gives you a really full appreciation of this story. Star Sisters, my guest is the astrologer Linda Moonrabbit Slotnick on Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Astrology by Moonrabbit. All right? Moonrabbit. I love that name. Star Sisters is a book. My guest is an astrologer, Linda Moonrabbit Slotnick. And the thing is, with this little experiment, and there were others, because Linda got to be the explorer, the rebel, the let's go try this, because her sister at this point, from the time that they were little, her sister got an advanced start. She was born earlier, a few minutes, like 20 minutes or so. And then when Linda came out, she was not quite as healthy, and she had to be in an incubator, which is a whole different experience, especially at that time, hands-off. And so there's a dynamic in the personality that comes into the play, and the parents had only planned on one child. So here was this extra. And so at this time, when you're doing this experimentation, you have all of these little boxes that you're supposed to fit in. And because you are two extraordinarily different and unique individuals, that box doesn't fit you. So I think it is fabulous that you're in the room and you're looking through the walls that are boxes and expanding your horizons. So that's my interpretation. And in your story, when you're seeing through the wall and see what's on the other side and then go check it out to see, go ahead and what was that like?
Well, I was in a big farmhouse with a group of young people, and everybody was playing music. And I was just sitting, kind of listening and relaxing, and I opened my eyes. And the wall in front of me, it dissolved into what looked like all these little moving cells, or I think I imagined them as particles. And so there was something taking up the space, but it wasn't solid. It was actually opaque, And so I thought, this is like really insane. I could see what was on the other side of the wall, regular kind of bedroom. So I got up and I walked around and I looked through the door, and there was exactly what I had seen through the wall, allegedly through the wall. But now I could see my friends on the instruments, from where I had been in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became very clear to me that, reality is an illusion and things are not what they seem, and that our brain is very, very good at limiting the truth and the knowledge that we can have as humans.
And that plays a really important part when you're doing your astrological readings and you've evolved into death charts. We'll get into that. When you're doing that, there's another element that I believe is a very strong psychic ability that you are automatically connected with. And I think part of that came when you no longer had to try and emulate all of the stuff that your sister was very good at and that your mom rewarded her for and then punished you. I mean, that was really tough to see some of the things that when you came home and there were cupcakes and you got a B and you knew that wasn't going to be helpful because she got all A's and Luann was like perfect. And so mom said that you couldn't have a cupcake till you got all A's, and that's just all there was to it. And so you had to give them their cupcakes, and you got a crumb because you stole it. So there.
Yes.
That's tough. That is.
Yes. Yes, and I think this kind of competition happens with siblings and families everywhere, but it's really, really so much more intense when you're twins.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's
the story that I think is incredible, too. I mean, the bond that you guys have just automatically. And then when you know some things ahead of time about the.
Yes.
Yeah. So how did that feel?
Well, I first started studying astrology because I needed something to help me make sense of the chaos of living. And I would say that for the first maybe 10 or 12 years, probably like a lot of astrologers, I was pretty obsessed with looking at my own chart because I wanted to know. I wanted to know. And as long as I was in that place, I actually couldn't know anything. Mm-hmm. Like, the more desperate I became to know, the less I was able to know.
Yeah.
And so something shifted, and I can't even quite tell you what it was. But I just kind of gave up on that. And when I did readings for other people, so whenever I did readings for other people, I would get two kinds of input. So one would be like a kind of a voice telling me something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this person needs to know blah, blah, blah. And the other would be like a sensory, a physical sensory connection, which turned out to be a very, very big problem because if the person had a backache, I'd get a backache.
Yes.
If they had sinus problems, I'd get sinus problems. So I learned to disconnect that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But so I always knew things about other people, but I couldn't translate that. And once I gave up on trying to figure stuff out, then I started having premonitions.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
Excuse me?
No, I was chuckling along because, once you stopped really, really stressing about it, then it flowed.
Boom. Right. And so the book talks about the premonitions with my twin's illness and, you know, having a very vivid of her dream of her dying before she died. And, you know, but there were many other experiences that I had, both ignoring the premonitions that I had and then getting in trouble and then starting to really listen to those kinds of feelings that I think so many people have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since I've written my book, somebody emailed me and wrote about an experience where before she got into her car, she saw herself getting into a car crash. And she got in her car anyway, and she got into a crash.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, come on, if you have that sense, maybe just go sit somewhere and read a book for 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
and then get into your car.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
time delay.
Anyway.
Well, and that part of it, though, is real because when there was a camping trip you talk about where you had an extraordinary premonition and it was spot on.
Oh, it was so frightening, that experience. So in the book, I talk about I was visiting this place in Hawaii, the South Point on the Big Island, and it's a very sacred place for the Hawaiian people because that's where the first, I think it was outrigger canoe landed on the shore, and you know they had been looking for land for a long time, and so a lot of praying and ceremonies were held there, and I just felt this enormous power at that physical place, you know, and I opened myself up just to let that power come into me. And then on the drive back to where we'd already set up the tent, I had this vision, and it was so clear. It was kind of like a waking, a half asleep, half awake type of vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very specific truck that was red, and there were three, you know, big men in there, and it was coming down the, I hadn't even paid attention to the dirt road leading into the campground, and, you know, the vision continued where they talked to us and, you know, invited us to this party, and when I woke up from it, there was this sense, or this voice screaming at me, you know, as I was leaving the dream, you have to get out of here, you have to get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Because, there's more to this story. All right. And if you need an astrology reading and a unique viewpoint, it's not that she can tell you when you're going to die. Okay, get over that. It's their death charts, and they're really fascinating, the information that involves what happens and why it's important. And it makes sense astrologically in conjunction with everything else that's going around. So if you have a partner, which is how she read with her sister and other people, it's incredible to see how the dots connect. Star Sisters is the name of the book, an astrologer's memoir of twin loss. And you can go to Linda's website, Astrology by Moon Rabbit, and find out more. But this story, there's more to this, and this is what premonitions are about and why it's good to pay attention to them and be open to changing your plans at the last possible second. It'll be in your favor. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, back in a few. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Okay, we're just doing the overview here. There's a lot more to the stories in the book, and a lot more, especially if you have your chart done and read. The intuitive factor, I think, that psychic element that she talks about, that she goes into when she's reading the story, or I'm reading the story about Linda and her process and learning to first, you know, separate from her sister, because there's a twin thing that is really, really hard. It doesn't go away. It's there. And when somebody else is around you calling the shots saying you need to be just like her, it's like, wait. You know, the soul is different. And as you are exploring and finding out your abilities, and one of them is that ability to have that psychic connection. This is what happens when you're in Hawaii in a beautiful, sacred space, and you have that vision that says, get the heck out. All right. So you saw the guys, you saw the red truck, but you go back and you're camping. And so what happens?
Well, you know, I say to the woman that I'm camping with, who later becomes my wife, we have to leave here right now. Our lives, I don't think I said our lives were in danger, but I think the fear in my voice was a big motivator.
Mm-hmm.
So we just put everything in the car as fast as we could and drove out of there. And I think it was maybe, so the next morning, so we stayed the night in a motel, and the next morning we went and stopped at a roadside cafe for breakfast. And, you know, the waitress was mentioning something about that two women had gone missing from that very campground. But it was a few years later that I actually found out, not directly but indirectly by talking to somebody, that there had been an article in the paper that those women had been found murdered. You know, and yeah. I mean, that could have been us.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of knew that would have been us if we hadn't have gotten out of there.
Yes, that was a drama that was going to play out. Well, and that thing to me says we have the ability at certain times to follow those hunches and to follow that guidance, that insight, that Hail Mary pass. Somebody's throwing you a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yes.
And you have those.
Well, and the repercussions of not doing it. Not every situation is a life-and-death situation, but we don't get those hunches or premonitions.
Yeah.
We don't get them for no reason.
The thing is, you were able to go back and track it and say, wow, your hunch was spot on.
Yeah.
Okay. From there, though, I want to go back into your sister, because with her, you knew you had inklings and you had premonitions and intuition that she was, that it was her time to leave. But the amazing thing is when you went back into the charts.
Yes. So you're talking about looking at her death chart?
Yes. Yeah, and this was you hadn't done these before, so this was a
No, it never even occurred to me, you know, to do something like this, but because I knew I was there at the moment that she died, and I knew that astrology worked in so many areas of my life, I thought, you know, I'll create this and I'll look at it and I'll look for answers. And there are answers there. It was really kind of stunning to me. Can I give you an example?
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of people who are kind of generally familiar with astrology have heard of a Saturn return. And every 28 and a half years, you experience this planetary, you know, the planet Saturn goes back to where it was when you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And it's associated with karma coming around, and it's associated with having to step up and take more responsibility for your life, and kind of it's associated with a level of maturity, you know, kind of when you're young, 28 and a half or 29, a lot of people become very grown up for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so my second Saturn return and my twin second Saturn return, it just started the day she died.
Mm.
So Saturn just went into the sign it's in both of our horoscopes, and the sun was also aspecting that Saturn that day.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a few other significant things, but then I'm going to talk too much astrology, and people who don't know it will get bored.
Yeah, that's okay. But that part of it was that this is the first dawning of your realization that this might be helpful.
Yes.
For other people, too.
Yes. Yes, and I didn't rush into it. I'll tell you, I took a lot of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, before I felt like, first I had to do some healing on my own, because you can't really deal with other people's grief if you haven't dealt with your own.
Yes. It took, 12 years or so before you were really
It was 12 years.
That's important. That's important for anybody who's grieving to know. It doesn't happen overnight, and you don't have a time frame. But I like the fact that you include that this was how it worked for you.
Yes. And it's different for every single person. But, you know, as I kept going back and looking at this chart, you know, and seeing more and more things that I thought, wow, you know, this is really, it's useful on a level of just kind of a perspective that you can't get anywhere else that puts things into a universal language.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, boy, if this can help me, it really can help other people. And so I started very, very slowly with offering free death chart readings to people that I'd already been working with.
Mm-hmm.
And using them kind of, you know, as a way to get some experience.
Yeah.
See where these readings could take people and how they could help them and how they could, you know, what part of them would be useful and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, I do want to get past the part that this isn't about finding out when you're going to die, because if somebody's
exactly.
just halfway listening, I want to know, and I don't want to know. That's not what it's about.
No, not at all. It's about it's for the person who is still here to help them process not only what happened to the person that they loved, but why that loss happened to them at that time and how they can utilize the energy that comes from such a big life-changing event to move themselves forward spiritually.
When you talk about in the book eclipses, you seem to have a very strong connection. And why are eclipses important?
So, I'll tell you something really interesting. So I started doing readings for people in 1975, 1976. And until 1980, when I found out about eclipses, twice a year, I would get all these frantic phone calls from my clients, you know, big groups of clients, and they would say to me, what's going on? And I had no explanation because nothing I looked at made sense. And then I was fortunate enough to meet another astrologer who was one of the really early kind of pioneers studying eclipses. And once I got those in my toolbox, it just became something that made so much sense. Now, I could give you a very lengthy explanation about eclipses that are tied up to the nodes of the moon, and the nodes of the moon in the chart have to do with the soul's journey. I mean, there's a lot of astrological deep meaning in these eclipses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if have you ever been under a full eclipse of the sun?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
You know that this is some really powerful energy that happens.
Yeah.
And so even if you're not under it, or even if it's not happening on your part of the globe, it's happening in a degree of a particular zodiac sign. And if you have that in your chart, then that energy is felt by you in some way or another.
Okay,
hang on. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to come back. But I also wanted to get back into this for someone who is looking to make a connection and why it would be important to do that for a relative who's crossed over, a parent, a sibling, a close friend. All right, we'll come back to that. But with the eclipse,
okay.
And the fact that, you know, that you've shared it with your daughters, this is important, and why maybe being in the way of where you're standing under the eclipse or at that point would be possibly life-shifting, because that's a lot of people don't think about that. All right, so my guest is the astrologer Linda Moon Rabbit Zlotnick. You can find her, just Google or Astrology by Moon Rabbit. That's the website. Okay, if we want to get technical. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, with my guest, Linda Zlotnick. And in your book, Part One, The Shared Path, there's a quote by Gibran that I think is just extraordinary. It's beautiful. It kind of touches everything that we're talking about. Do you have that in front of you?
I can get it real quick here.
Oh, this is what I think it speaks to, this overview that we don't always get. But like at that moment when you had that transcendent experience back in the day when you were doing the experiment thing and seeing around the rooms and the walls and over whatever was present, this is the quote that I think really fits.
Okay. So it says, "You were born together, and together you shall be forevermore. But let there be spaces in your togetherness, and let the winds of heaven dance between you."
Okay, so with the crop circles, there's an energy that people, even when they say they've been to one that is man-made, human-created, versus something that they don't know is creating it, there's an energy, and the suspicion is that people may be influenced without their knowing to also go out and create these designs, which then give an impact or an impression of a specific energetic frequency that they connect to. And with this, the sun energy, when you're under an eclipse, it also has that same kind of unique influence. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Some astronomers have said that the electromagnetic field around the Earth, it shifts during both a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes. You know, there's the energetic level that we can measure, and then there's energetic levels that we can't even begin to measure. And eclipses are these very potent kinds of doorways to different energies, new energies, energies that change things. And I just find these eclipses play such dramatic roles in the lives of my clients.
Well, I want to get back to the connection with your sister, because there's a shift with an eclipse and with a transition. And you said about a year and a half or so after she transcended, you reconnected.
I think that we had not, you know, some people will say, oh, I had a dream about my twin. And I do that. I have lots of dreams about my twin, but this was a visit. This was actually a visit. She came to visit me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a conversation, and she gave me a healing, which was totally unexpected. She had these beings of light that were just kind of these glowing, luminescent forms with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making a kind of om or humming sound.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the most important part was when we were talking, and, you know, I was telling her how much I missed her. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. I think it took me a long time to get back to you, but time is really different where I am now. And I thought, yeah, that's really useful to know. Probably there isn't time where you are now. So I had, that changed everything for me, having that visit and feeling, knowing that, you know, there she was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
A little hard for me to access, but still there. And then we had a few other meetings after that, and now I just more, like, dream about her. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll just wake up from a dream where we were doing something together like we used to.
Question is, with that, do you have a sense of a reconnection when you cross, or has it been finished, completed during this particular lifetime? Do you have any information, given your astrology, with what goes beyond?
I don't have anything necessarily from my astrology, but do I believe that when I cross, she'll be there waiting for me? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yes.
With the astrology and getting into that, you wouldn't have had, I think, the same approval from your mom. It was clear in the book that she had a certain direction. And the deal that you did with both your mom and your dad with the astrology, you were able to connect some dots that I think were incredibly powerful to help you heal.
Yes. Yes, with both of them, very much. Very much. And, you know, I, in the early years of being an astrologer, I drew up charts for both of my parents, and it was interesting to look at why they were connected. And after my mom died, I tried really hard to understand what was happening in the heavens that contributed to her death, but I didn't have enough information,
mm-hmm.
and probably I didn't have enough distance. It took quite a number of years for me to, I didn't have, you know, to have that kind of understanding.
That was a lot of very, very tough love, huh? it was abusive, you know. When you tried to tell your sister that, she's like, but
mm-hmm.
but what I saw at the end of the book, this is like the same thing with the campground experience. You had the premonition, you had the information, you didn't get the actual icing on the cake, the knot in the bow, until years later. So there's private information that made a lot more sense when you found this out from, what was it, an aunt about your father?
Yes, about my dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and, you know, I mean, as Luann was dying, you know, she said to me, boy, Mom and Dad really missed the boat on you. So, she saw something very different than what they saw and expected to.
Mm-hmm.
And, she was a very different kind of aunt, you know, to my children then. I mean, I parented my children very differently than I was raised, and she kind of followed suit with that.
Yeah, yeah, which is good.
Yes, it's very, very good.
You kind of had the template for don't do this, don't do that. Okay, you know, you'd already been through the other direction and knew that was kind of a hard road to hoe.
Right. Well, I mean, it took me a while to figure out that actually if they're old enough to understand why you're telling them something, then it isn't about just behaving. It isn't about obeying. It's about preparation for life.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna
have to wrap up. I've just got a few seconds left, a minute left. Astrology by Moon Rabbit, that's your website. And you do charts. People can connect with you there, and the book is available at Amazon, it's anywhere. Is there anything you'd like to add before we check out?
Oh, it's just been delightful talking with you. I just have enjoyed myself very much.
Thank you.
So thank you for the time.
Oh, thank you. And the book, I like the way you include everything. The troubled, the stuff that starts from the beginning, and then the teen years, and the things that we are stuck with in terms of society roles, and how we have to figure out how to get around that and find out who we are in spite of it.
Yes.
So with
I do think that's why we're here, is to find out who we are.
Yeah.
In spite of all those external expectations.
Are you looking forward to the next eclipse?
I'm always looking forward to the next eclipse.
Darn. Okay, go ahead.
The next one in 2024, I'll be able to go see.
Okay.
So.
Okay. 2024.
Yep.
All right.
Not too far away.
Well, that's coming up quicker than we think. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, if you're listening.
Thank you, Wendy.
The book is Star Sisters, an astrologer's memoir of twin loss. You also find out the details behind when she gets too caught up in her clients and that energy thing, you know, wash your hands, do whatever you can to release the energy. That's a good little tool in this book. Lots of stuff to read. We don't have time to put it in the show because that's what books are for. And if you want a reading, Astrology by Moon Rabbit, go to the website. I'll put the links on Wendy's Coffee House, the Blogspot site. And whatever you're doing, the changes we go through are sometimes incredibly important. Not that they're negative, but they're an excuse to get with it. Take a different look. You don't need LSD to do that, but you do need some kind of a role model or a kick in the... Till next time, stay curious. See ya.